562-864-1760. Enjoy your world on the big screen.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
Yes, indeed, WBAI New York, 9 p.m., Thursday evening, time for another edition of Backstage Stories with Marcia Pendleton.
Today feels like a poem for seven black plays by black playwrights on Broadway. Because the sun is warm upon my skin becoming Nubian. A cool African vibe, a preaching man in a park with no home, no church, cutting across lines of imperceptibility because we hear far away our children's faint, fading breath, which blows beyond our reach for a poem is how I'm feeling today. I'm feeling encyclical, signed, cosine, infinite phrases can be meted in a poem on a day like today. You see, a poem is a song, and a song is a poem. Langston Hughes said, I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood and human vein. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in Euphrates when dawns were young, and I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. A poem is a song, and a song is a poem. Maya Angelou wrote these words. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I will rise. A poem is a song, and a song is a poem. Sam Cooke sang these words. I was born by the river. In a little tent, but just like a river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, y'all, but I know a change gonna come. Change will come. A poem is a song, and a song is a poem. That poem and song, it will hold us up. It will keep us together. It will make us walk in the spirit. It will make us shout, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A poem is a song. And a song is a poem. We are moved by our poems. We are moved by our songs. And today feels like a poem. Because ain't no stopping us now.
Good evening. This is Marcia Pendleton. I am the producer and host of Backstage Stories. And welcome. We are going to be talking about the seven plays that are being produced this fall on Broadway. We have special guest with us, Charles Reese, who has traveled 3,000 miles to come back to New York to witness this unprecedented moment. And we also have with us Jackie Jeffries, who is a producer in her own right, but she is also the president of Adelco Incorporated, which is also known as the Audience Development Committee. It has been around for almost 50 years, encouraging people to support Black theater, particularly in the off-Broadway world. But they do acknowledge on a regular basis what is happening on Broadway. And we'll get to speak with her about the Adelcos and her feelings about this unprecedented moment. So let us start with saying hello to Jackie Jeffries and also great, and also to Charles Reese. Charles, are you going to unmute, my dear?
I think I will.
Thank you. Hello. Hello.
How's everybody doing? Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Charles. How are you today?
I'm good. The machine is coming back to life.
Yes.
Okay, so just in case some of our listeners don't know who you are, I would love for you, each of you, to give us just a snippet of your background, who you are, where you're from, how you began your relationship with this thing that we call theater, our life's blood of theater and live theater, and the fact that it's back, because this time last year, we weren't even talking about anything like we're talking about now. So how about we start with Jackie?
Hi, Marcia.
Hey.
So let's see. So probably some 33 years ago, I went to National Black Theater to take a workshop called Tear Technology of Soul. I was studying to be a doctor. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And the next thing I know, I was swept up in the whirlwind called theater. I started out handing out programs at National Black Theater. And then I went on to do box office, stage management, company management, production management, general management, and the last maybe 20 years producing.
What has been your greatest love in working in the theater? And how did you know that, well, I'm not going to be a doctor? That doctor stuff, no more.
I think from the moment I started, just the spirit of being in the theater, I spent the majority of my time at National Black Theater, but I've worked with all three Black theaters, which is the Negro Ensemble Company, the New Federal Theater. I've partnered with Rosa Rivers, Take Wing and Soar, Deborah Ann Byrd. It's just been like my life's blood, like my spirit. It just opens me up. I loved every facet of it, starting from just being and working with the audience, handing out programs. And I love learning how to do lighting. And I was more in the technical realm. And it, with everything I learned, I just became more excited. And I just love theater. And I never wanted to produce, but Mr. Tunde Samuel was insistent that I would follow in his footsteps. And I always said, I will never. And unfortunately, he made his transition in 2001. And Dr. Barbara Antia decided, you shall produce. And the rest is history. There we are.
We all have our Tunde Samuel stories. Mine is when I decided to break out and do Walk Tall Girl Productions. Tunde encouraged me to do that. I had been to a Black Theater Network conference and people were talking about things that really excited them, their projects, their papers, their productions, and I wasn't doing any of that. I was working in the performing arts, but I wasn't doing any of that. Yeah. And I knew that I needed to strike out on my own. And he said to me very clearly, he challenged me to begin Walk Tall Girl Productions. It did not have a name at that point in time, but I knew what I needed to do. And he challenged me very clearly. And I said, well, how am I going to pay my rent? And he said, you are a smart woman. You will figure out how to pay your rent. Now, he didn't tell me that I would always be able to pay it on time, but
you will pay it.
And I bless the day, I love the day that he challenged me. And here we are 21 years later, and I am working in the field under my banner, Walk Tall Girl Productions. So yes, that's my Tunde Samuel story, and I'm sticking to it. and I know Charles Reese has one, but it was Charles Reese who started off our program with that wonderful piece that he adapted for our subject tonight about these seven plays by African-American writers. So thank you very much, Charles, for beginning us with those beautiful and wonderful and rich and timely words. So tell us about Charles Reese.
Well, first of all, Jackie, so good to see you. Marcia, thank you for the invitation. Charles Reese is the name. I was born, raised, and potty trained in Washington, D.C., your nation's capital.
I love it.
I attended Morehouse College, and Jackie, I was a psychology major first.
I was going
to be a psychotherapist, but I came an artist psychotherapist instead.
I love it.
I met a young gentleman by the name of Lamar Alford during my freshman year. He was the original cast member of Godspell, and he was also a part of La Mama, and he changed my world. In my second year, psychology became my minor, and I moved to Mass Communications, Theater Arts, and Public Relations. That's what you were able to do there. After that, I went on and just started my life and went to L.A., New York, did acting, TV, film, and all that stuff. But along the way, I became a James Baldwin specialist because James Baldwin was the person I met in my freshman year. And somehow I ended up doing a play on Off-Broadway at the New Federal Theater with my dear friend, Forrest McClendon, who is now starring in one of the seven plays, which we will talk about, which is Thoughts of a Colored Man, which I'm so proud of. So that's my thing. I now live in California. I am just an active member of society. I think art is so important. I call myself a cultural architect for public engagement, so people won't be confused. That means I act, dance, sing, move. I can do what you need to do. Just come on with it.
Come on.
Just come on with it. You got to be a multi-hyphenate. Got to be a multi-hyphenate in order to stay relevant and to stay active and to stay focused. It is so wonderful to have you both here. And thank you very much for sharing that information with the audience. Now, we spoke about seven Black plays on Broadway this fall, unprecedented.
Yes.
It's just like, whoa, where did they all come from and why? And I'm going to name them in order of appearance. So they are Passover, Lackawanna Blues, Chicken and Biscuits, Thoughts of a Colored Man, Trouble in Mind, Clydes, and Skeleton Crew. Those are the seven. Passover and Lackawanna Blues completed their runs, and Chicken and Biscuits will complete its run on Sunday, November 28th. Let's talk about the significance of this moment. Charles, why don't we start off with you to talk about the significance of this moment? Because as I said at the top of the show, this time last year, we weren't even thinking about this. This moment did not even seem possible. We were all at home, locked up, basically. Yes. And Dr. Fauci was telling us, no Thanksgiving dinner with family or friends. We were about 2 seconds away from the vaccine, but we had no clue. There was what we're doing right now just was not happening. So, Charles, talk about the fact that you came 3,000 miles to experience this moment in time.
Well, after 18 months of being in your apartment on a blue screen, and all programs that are going around. Now, in LA, we got some sun and all of that. But remember, we were locked down, and so we couldn't do anything pretty much as well. For me to get on the plane for the first time in 2 years. I haven't flown in 2 years since 2019. So I knew that it was important. And I kind of sort of planned it out, but didn't know how it was all going to work out. I've seen six of the seven so far. And I have enjoyed myself immensely. It's in a learning experience. And I think the importance and significance of it is that first time in my 30 plus years in theater life, I've never seen seven plays come in one season, specifically a fall season, ever in my lifetime thus far. So that's the first part of the importance of it. Also, the importance of it is that it's not a monolithic series of plays. It's like a little bit of something for everybody. You hear the title Chicken and Biscuits. It's about a funeral service for dad, and you get your comedy in that. You hear Thoughts of a Colored Man, just what it says, Thoughts of a Colored Man. Trouble in Mind was one of the ones that, out of all the pieces, Trouble in Mind is the only one that the playwright is not alive. And that history is so deep because it's taken 66 years for that piece to get on Broadway. Clyde's, it's quite significant based on the fact that it's Lynn Nottage, but she's back on Broadway during this time as a part of it. Lackawanna Blues was just quite amazing because it's a solo piece by Ruben Santiago Hudson that's been around for a while, but it's never been on Broadway. And Passover, it's a two-handler, which I only saw once. Most of the pieces I've seen like about two times. But the significance is that we have all these pieces and what I call the post-pandemic time, in where our country has gone through a major series of crises dealing with race relations and killings in America. So I think the plays represent what I call a healing balm, and hopefully it should not be the last. Hopefully we'll learn where we can go and what we should be doing to keep things moving.
I know for a fact that when I heard that it was going to be seven and a return of Slave Play, which makes eight really, but seven for that are new to this fall season. Yeah, new to this fall season. I, like many other people, were like, yay, but also giving it the side eye, you know, is this a moment or is this a movement? What does this actually mean? Because I am also hearing about conversations. Well, I think we're going to wait to make sure that it's really and truly safe to bring our show to Broadway. Yes. We're going to wait until the spring or maybe the fall of 2022. So are we going to see the same whiteout of Broadway again? And then also questions about whether or not these shows should be on Broadway. They are actually having those kinds of discussions in the rooms. So that's why people that I know, you know, including myself, and you know that this is part of my bread and butter, that you give it the side eye, you know, and say, okay, we're doing this and it's really great and all of these folks are working. But how long is this going to last? When is this door going to shut? Jackie, let's hear what you have to say and then Charles will come back to you.
Absolutely. So like Charles, I've seen six out of the seven. And I really, from the onset of it, you know, there was this excitement, but it's like, well, why are you starting with so many Black plays? And are you putting us at risk? Are we the guinea pigs to see what's going to happen with COVID? I mean, I really had that thought, like, because why seven? Why so many? And then I thought, well, why not? right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not for this moment in time, right? Because there seems to be some kind of spiritual movement where God is moving us to the front. And I think it started with this whole thing around George Floyd and I Can't Breathe within 9 seconds. And you see these statues coming down. So there seems to be a spiritual movement happening. So I'm wondering if God is just doing work in the hearts of men and we're coming forth. So I'm hoping that's the possibility. And the floodgates are opening and we're going through. And this won't be just the beginning. It'll just continue. Because I think the work, from what I've seen, holds its own, right? So it's time. It's time for all voices to be heard, rather it's white Broadway or multicultural Broadway. But it's just time. It's time for Black folks to have more than 3 to 5. You have to wait every 3 or 5 years for a Black play, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Let's set the record straight. Our stories are just as important as other people's stories. And just like you need to bring forth the Black voice, you need to bring forth the Latino voice and the Asian voice. It's just time for the world to become, I think, immersed in each other and give each culture its respect. And so it's time for Broadway to shift. And I think God is just, I think that move is happening. And I pray that this is not just a moment where they pacify us and then the doors close and then it's business as usual. So that's what I want to say.
Okay. So Charles, I know you wanted to pick up on something.
Well, no, actually, I'm going to pick up on something that Jackie said, and I'll get mm-hmm. back to that point later if it comes back through. You know, I live in that moment. but she said something spiritual, and I've heard Kenan Scott say this a lot, the playwright for Thoughts of a Colored Man, that 7 is the number of completion. And that's why I wanted to see that piece 7 times, so I can make sure I was complete before I left town. you know.
Uh-huh.
But speaking in from those terms, Marcia, yes. A moment versus movement, I think we're going to use both the M's. Yes, it is a moment. Yes, there is a movement. There are a lot of organizations that are have been formulated. And let's make sure that we don't repeat history. We've had movements before.
Oh, yes.
But we also know that the reason why the Black artists have to go first, because we always go first. It's always built on our backs, but this time on the shoulders, because I believe that these plays, unlike most of Broadway, this is a point that I didn't want to make earlier, Marcia, unlike most Broadway pieces, a lot of these pieces were limited runs and not open-ended runs like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have theater organizations that are not-for-profit that have Broadway houses along with other things that they normally do. They're off-Broadway and Broadway houses. So it's a little different than norm, but I think like you said, Jackie, George Floyd, all the things that were happening in the country, the yes. moment has come.
Yes.
It is going to be up to each one of us to decide yes. what we're going to do individually and yes. what we can do collectively.
This is Backstage Stories. I'm Marcia Pendleton, your host, and this is listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and streaming at WBAI.org. With us this evening are Jackie Jeffries and Charles Reese, and we're speaking about the 7 plays that are currently, well, some of them are currently running on Broadway, and others successfully completed their runs. And now we're going to have a no holds bar conversation about the first 3. We're going to talk about Passover and Lackawanna Blues and Chicken and Biscuits. So let's start with Passover by Antoinette Nwandu. It was directed by Dana Taymor, and it starred John Michael Hill, Namir Smallwood, and Gabriel Ebert. and it was at the August Wilson Theater. It began its run at the beginning of August, and it finished up 9 weeks at the beginning of October. Charles, why don't you tell us what Passover was about and what you thought about it?
Now, normally I like to see pieces 2 and 3 times. Unfortunately, I only got to see it once because they were gone by October the 10th. Passover to me was what I call a take on Waiting for Godot, mm-hmm. for those who may have seen that. But it was more, it was a contemporary version with young Black men. And I want to give a shout out to those young brothers, John Michael Hill and Namir Smallwood. I was fortunate enough to get to talk to them after the show, which is very rare these days because of COVID situations. I just was enamored by those two performers. I just thought that they handled the material very well. It was a little difficult for me for a minute to get into it. The way they dealt with the N-word was so intriguing to me. So I had to pull back for a little bit to catch myself because I thought it was quite amazing that, or I should say ironic, that it was in the August Wilson Theater. And if you know anything about August's work, I always remember my school teacher, or I should say my acting coach, she says, I got a problem with his work because of the way he used the N-word. So if she would have seen this piece, I don't know if she would have lasted past the first hour. But I like we said, these are not monolithic things. And I always tell people, I don't give reviews. Mm-hmm. I just basically tell what's there and what and let you make up your own mind. Mm-hmm. But that was the main thing that got me. And I must say, I was sitting next to a Caucasian lady who was from Florida, who had come back to see the piece for the second time. And she wanted me to try to break things down to her about the N-word. And I simply said, baby, I've got to come back and see it again myself.
Okay.
That's how I handled that.
We're not explaining nothing today. Not nothing today. Jackie, how about you?
I didn't see Passover. That is the one that I did not see.
Okay.
I heard all great things, though. I heard great things.
Okay.
Well, like Chuck Cooper said in what's the piece? Troubling Mind. Uh-huh. Did my story help you a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks about it.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was the first one out of the gate. It is the play that reopened Broadway, so that is quite significant. Yeah. Also, I thought that it stole a bit of Thoughts of a Colored Man's thunder in terms of being Thoughts of a Colored Man had positioned itself as the piece, the first new play on right. Broadway, and that did not happen for that particular show. So that was my thoughts about it. It's always amazing for things to go to Broadway. I was associated with a show when it was off Broadway at LCT3, that's Lincoln Center Theater 3. And my understanding is that there have been some changes. There had definitely been some changes to the work, and people who saw it off Broadway, who returned to see it on Broadway, but who had also seeing the Spike Lee film, there was some concern because of the changes that were made to the piece. Not everyone was in agreement with it, but that's what art should do. It should spark conversation.
Yes.
It should spark conversation, yeah. Allow us to think and apply what the work is saying to our lives. So Antoinette managed to do that and do it well. So congratulations. And Namir Smallwood, I just saw on a wonderful limited television series with Jeff Daniels. I think it was called Rust. On Showtime.
I love him. I love both of those guys.
Yeah, they're wonderful actors. And so wonderful human beings, because I also know Namir from Pipeline, Dominique Morisseau's Pipeline. He was just incredible in that. And the fact that he can go from playing a 17-year-old to playing someone who is well into his 30s, you know, like this character on this television show is just absolutely amazing. Let's go to Lackawanna Blues, written, performed, and directed by Tony Award winner Ruben Santiago Hudson, who is also the artistic advisor at NTC and the person who was playing the music, which is another character, was blues guitarist Junior Mac. Yeah. Lackawanna Blues. Let's talk about Nanny, Miss Rachel.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
I'm not going to try to be here. We could be here all day on Ruben, so y'all know I'm going to take it easy because this could take us all the way out. But I'm going to let you go first, and I'm going to try to kind of sort of condense it as much as I can. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say, Ruben. He was absolutely magnificent. I love the way he weaved in and out of the characters, the precision, like you could just visualize it. And the way he told those stories, you could hear the love, you could feel it. Like, so I was sitting like maybe in the fifth row, and I could see the tears welling up in his eyes. And, you know, and then I thought to myself, like, I just went on that journey with him, with all of those characters, with his aunt, with, you know, just, it was absolute perfection to me. And to know that he had an injury, and when he danced and we did the dog, just everything was just amazing. And just, I think of him as a director, and then I look at his instrument as he's acting, and he just personifies what theater is for me. I just I was enthralled by it. And, you know, to see the movie, and he did it in 2001, and just see the growth and maturity. He's incredible. And that's what I can say about Lackawanna Blues.
Ruben Santiago Hudson is a master storyteller. He is a master at what he does. He is a Tony Award winner. And Lackawanna Blues is about Miss Rachel, the woman who raised him, who called him, who everyone called Nanny. And it takes place in Lackawanna, New York. And you meet all of these wonderful people who inhabited Nanny's boarding homes, boarding houses. And it's incredible the way that you see each of them. Sometimes with solo performances, somebody called it a coat rack theater, you put on a hat and then you put on a coat, and then you hang it up. Ruben,
then you try to turn around and become somebody else.
Yeah. So Ruben does none of that. You know, he does none of that. I know that through Erish McMillan McCall, we invited the cast from Thoughts of a Colored Man in to see him. And I know specifically Luke James was blown away by Ruben. He was just like, oh my God.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah, that's what we need to strive for. Yeah. And you know, like that was his aha moment, Luke James's aha moment. So Charles, let's hear a little bit from you about Lackawanna Blues, and then we'll move on to Chicken and Biscuits.
I'm glad you saved me last, because y'all said it all much. But here's the thing. Reuben Santiago Hudson gave a master class in what it is to be a theater professional at its highest height. He has surpassed that, in my words. I saw that piece years ago. Marcy, I saw it at the Freedom Theater.
Yeah.
You remember we went down that? Yeah. But I saw it recently when he came to LA to do it pre-COVID. For those who didn't get to see it, it's 20 plus characters coming out of this man's body. And I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to get out, because I could be here all day on this one. I could. Ooh, it's hard. The character for me this time that was so amazing was the harmonica was his own character. It's so perfected in how that harmonica moves through and weaves through and out. And at one point in the show, I just got up and went, yes!
Okay. It's call and response. And I know Reuben appreciated that.
I saw him at the end of the show.
I know he definitely appreciated that. So let's move on to Chicken and Biscuits. It's going to be running until November 28th. It's its final performance, written by Douglas Lyons, who is a triple threat in his own right, a Broadway performer, and directed by Jalen Levingston. He is the youngest director in Broadway history. 27 years old. And another thing about the show is that there were over 30 Broadway debuts on stage and behind the scenes, from everyone who was a lead producer to people who were on the stage to people who were part of the creative team to the associate director. Shout out to Bianca Laverne Jones.
Yes. Yes.
So it's just absolutely amazing, because it was in the midst of its off-Broadway debut when it was shut down with everybody else because of COVID, and the fact that it came back, it came roaring back to be one of the seven plays on Broadway, only to be shut down again by COVID. And when you're in this kind of situation, when you're not a nonprofit theater that has that cushion of a subscription audience, when you get knocked down from COVID, you're not going to get back up. So they got back up for a week, and I encourage anybody within the sound of my voice to go see it. You have until November 28th. Charles, talk about Cleo and your friendship with Cleo King, who is starring in Chicken and Biscuits.
I'm gonna talk about Cleo, but I have to give a shout out to Norm Lewis.
Yes.
Norm Lewis, his first play. not first play ever, because he's been doing all musicals. You know him as the first Broadway artist to play the Phantom on Broadway.
Black Broadway.
So I just have to start there. But Cleo King.
Yes.
A lot of you might know her if you watch TV from Mike and Molly. She played Nana. She had on a gray wig there. That's who that was. And so she's making her Broadway debut, but this is not her first time in theater at all. She did all these national tours, Jelly Slash Jam, for years. And she thought her time was over. And she got a call from the playwright, because the playwright saw her one night in Mike and Molly and said, that's Benita. And that's how she became the first lady of chicken and biscuits. And so I'm so proud to actually have a friend that I've known for 30 years. We met in Florida when I was an intern, along with Forrest McClendon. We all met 30 years ago. So we actually had our 30th anniversary by celebrating her and Forrest on Broadway. So Cleo King, congratulations. And like you said, Marcia said, if you get a chance, go see Chicken and Biscuits right after Thanksgiving and just keep supporting them and all the other shows as well.
Okay. Jackie, do you have any thoughts about Chicken and Biscuits, which is about a family who comes together for a funeral and secrets are revealed? So
a lot of secrets.
So that's what I got to say about that.
And the first lady is not having it.
That's right. And I thought it was brilliantly done. I saw a reading of it at the Harlem State Office Building with a semi-professional cast. It was done in Queens. And I loved, I absolutely loved, I laughed. It's just a night of love and laughter. And I say reconciliation at the end. The performers were absolutely exquisite. The young woman who played that...
The daughter.
Oh my God! She was so funny.
They need to give her a TV show like right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes,
they really do.
She was amazing.
Yeah, she carried, and to be with all those people, she carried it very well.
Yes,
let me
she
say,
did.
Being a youngin that she was, and let me also say this about Chicken and Biscuits really quickly. Like I said, it's a little bit of something for everybody. This season for Broadway, it didn't come in your, this play didn't go all the way through the regions and have 5 different, 10 different runs.
It did not.
And a lot of people didn't know what it was about. They said, oh, Chicken and Biscuits, they assume what it is.
Yeah.
And so I say, hey, a little bit of something for everybody.
For everybody.
Absolutely.
And so well done. And adding Norm with that preaching rhythm and just a brilliant lead performer. I just thought it was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely.
And you can see, once again, you can see Chicken and Biscuits until November 28th at Circle in the Square Theater on Broadway. We're going to take a little music break right now. And I asked Jackie what is her song that is evocative of this moment. And it is Empire State of Mind by Alicia Keys. And I'm thinking that we may get a little bit of Jay-Z in there as well. So let's give a listen to Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from. Made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been by the
home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special, and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's
this is Backstage Stories on listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming at WBAI.org. We are talking about the seven plays by Black playwrights that are or have been a part of or will be a part of the fall season on Broadway, and our guests are Jackie Jeffries and Charles Reese. And we're going to continue the conversation next up with Thoughts of a Colored Man by Kenan Scott II, directed by Stephen H. Broadnax III. He meaning Kenan Scott II, calls this work slam narrative, which is extraordinarily important because just as Intasaki Shange created the choreo poem, this kind of theater for Kenan Scott II that he has developed is called slam narrative. It is seven Black men on stage, written, telling a story written by a Black man, directed by a Black man, and its lead producers, Ron Simons and Brian Moreland, are Black men. That's the first time in history. So it is the day in the life of these seven brothers, brothers meaning Black men, in Brooklyn. So, Charles has said he has seen it seven times. So let's start with Charles and Thoughts of a Colored Man, which is currently running at the John Golden Theater on Broadway through the end of February. Okay, so let's go.
Seven times, and now I am complete. And it's so interesting. Seven Black men, seven times. It is poetry. It is prose. But it's not your typical storyline. Each character has its own through line. And I don't want to give this part away because I really want to make you go see it so you can get it. But each character represents a very specific emotion, which you don't find out till the end. Right. That's how you save it, Marcia.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just like to say that a big shout out to my dear friend, Forrest McClendon, who has been with the piece for 4 years.
And who was on the show a few weeks ago, my buddy from Philadelphia. Yes. Yeah. So I know that you and Forrest are tight, you know.
I'm just here to support him mm-hmm. and make sure that one of the things you have to do when you're on Broadway too, Broadway is hard, guys. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. And when you have a role, he's playing a pivotal role in the show, which I say I'm not going to give away. You've got to go see this piece. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Take your young kids to go see this piece. Take your brothers, take your sisters. And if you can't go to the theater, buy a ticket for someone. That's always a good thing for Thoughts of a Colored Man. I'm going to stop there because I could go on again. Congratulations to the whole cast, team, and crew. And shout out to New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams, who was there last night. That was on Tuesday night. He did a talk back in the show. Kudos to him.
And I just want to mention the actors in this piece. It's DeLon Burnside that we know from Pose. He played Billy Porter's lover on Pose. I said, y'all better work that out. Brian Terrell Clark, Da Vinci, who is on a television show called Black Mafia Family, which I watch religiously. Luke James, who has the voice of an angel. He's a Grammy nominee. Forrest McClendon, who is just at the top of his game. He is a Tony nominee. Esau Pritchett, who is probably one of the tallest actors I have ever seen. If you make me feel short,
he is so tall.
He's very, very tall and very powerful.
That voice.
And Tristan Mack Wilds, also very well known for his work on television, but they have all come together to create one of the most stunning ensembles on Broadway. We'll move on to Trouble in Mind by the late, great Alice Childress. It is directed by Charles Randolph Wright, who started his career as a member of the original Broadway cast of Dreamgirls.
Yes, he was.
And starring LaShawn's, Tony and Emmy Award-winning LaShawn's. This will bring her another Tony nomination because she is just spectacular in the role of Willetta Mayer, who is an actress who has been playing all kinds of stereotypical roles. And she gets to a point where she has had enough, which is what a lot of Black actresses, or a friend of mine who calls herself a Blacktress, what they go through. What was true in 1955 is still true in 2021 for a number of women of color, specifically Black women. So that play is going to be running at the American Airlines Theater through January 9th. Can I hear some? Oh, and it's also starring Tony Award winner Chuck Cooper.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Frances Jessica Dukes, who gives us a wonderful Broadway debut as Millie. It is a wonderful, wonderful work that is long overdue, but still extremely timely. Charles, your thoughts?
Very timely. It is a play within a play about race relations in America in 1955. Now, it's a play within the play about race relations in America in 2021.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's my tagline. So I won't give. So y'all won't be saying he gave everything away. Notice I'm not giving anything away.
Exactly.
But I'm giving kudos where kudos need to be. To LaShawn's. Also, I'm put a shout out to some music that's been done by
the Nona. Nona Hendrix.
Y'all remember her from La Belle and all of that. I know that Alice Childress is finally smiling from above. Here's the deal. The reason why I didn't make it to Broadway, because Alice Childress said, I am not going to tone down, nor am I going to change my play to satisfy or pacify.
Come on.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And that's why it did not get done. Had it got done in 1957, that's the year we should have gotten done, it would have gone on before A Raisin in the Sun, but Raisin in the Sun became the first.
Exactly.
Alice Childress was there. And it was really about her life and what she had actually experienced.
Yes.
Alice said,
women are still going through some of these things today.
Alice said, no, enough. And it took 66 years, but I'm so glad that it's here. This is WBAI New York. This is Backstage Stories. I'm Marcia Pendleton, and we're with Charles Reese and Jackie Jeffries. We're going to finish up this conversation by finding out what's next for the two of them. Charles, what's next for you?
Well, I got to take all this history that I've gotten and figure out what I want to do with it. I thought I was just coming to do one story, but I can't. it's going to be a 7-part piece to be continued. So when I get back home and go through all this, I have an episode of The House Divided, which is on the All Black Network with Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. I am going to be killed in an episode, y'all, really badly. So I get beat down, bloodied up. Yes, don't ever cross Glenn Plummer.
I know you do it well.
Oh, baby. I did my own stunt safely, thank God.
Okay, can't wait to see that.
All the Black Network on that. And I'm going to be, starting in February, going back to doing my salons for the James Baldwin project that I normally do. And we're hoping that we will be able to go back to the Netherlands for my summer residency with Emerson College. So those are the few little things I'm working on.
Oh, I love the Netherlands.
I like your life.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Jackie Jeffries, why don't you talk about a little bit about the ADELCO Awards?
The ADELCOs. Mm-hmm. This coming Monday, November 29th, being streamed live, little hybrid. We'll be streaming from the Dwyer Cultural Center. A Black retrospective of the last 49 years of theater. So we have nominated plays from the 1970s up to 2019. You can go to our website, see some of the plays. We're honoring 27 theaters. There's about 7 productions in each theater company. You go in and you choose which one that you think is either your favorite or well done. It is the theater's plays against the plays. And what we're doing is the best play, but instead of giving the award to the producers this year, we're giving the awards to the actors because they make the production.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really, mm-hmm. It's different. It's our first time. The research was incredible. I thank all of the ones who supported me to get it. I love talking to the producers, trying to come up with some works that highlight some of our icons who have moved on, some of them who are making other transitions. We've highlighted Ed Bullins from New Lafayette. Our history is so rich. And so I say, let's keep supporting Black culture. Let's keep supporting Black theater. You can become a member. We still have the COVID special. Go in, see what's been nominated. Support these plays, support our Black theaters, make sure that our actors are supported. And we're gonna do it. We also have the traditional solo categories and musical categories from 1970s to the 1990s and then 2000 to 2009. So you can pick one of 8 for that. And it's gonna be exciting time. It's gonna be an exciting time to celebrate our history for the last 49 years.
That's great. And people can get more information at adelco.org. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I will make sure that it is on the WBAI website. When you go into our archives for Backstage Stories for this particular episode, you will find the information there. And you will also find the information on my Facebook page, Walk Tall Girl Productions on Facebook. And anything that you have heard about tonight, you will be able to get information there. I want to thank Charles Reese and Jackie Jeffries for this wonderful conversation. And I'm going to thank Erish McMillan McCall for this last song that we're going to close out with. It is McFadden and Whitehead, Philadelphia International Records. Y'all know I'm from Philly, my hometown, and it's Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Join us next week for the next episode of Backstage Stories.
so many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down.
Backstage Stories, heard every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.